Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Thank you very much, Karen. Now we turn to the football, because the World Cup action continues today. Wales are currently in action against Iran. It's currently goalless in that match at halftime. England take on the USA later this evening. And all of this follows yesterday's action, where what could be described as the goal of the tournament so far was scored by the Brazilian player Rick Arlson in their 2-0 defeat of Serbia. Cristiano Ronaldo got on the score sheet for Portugal because he became the first male player to score in 5 FIFA World Cups. Well, to take a look at all of the action, I'm joined on the line by our regular commentator and soccer journalist, Guillaume Balague. Good morning, Guillaume.
Good morning, Claire.
How are you?
Yeah, fine. Settled. You know, it takes about 3-4 days to find out where the best shops are, where to get your food, where to do things, where to go for a beer. That's harder to get, actually, but eventually we know where to. And now just ready for the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, of course. And you had that great win for Spain as well. I mean, all the nerves must be settled now.
There wasn't nerves. There was no need for being to be nervous, because there was no great expectations. But to actually find out that we had 7 goals in us after 8 shots on target was, something to celebrate.
Yeah, but you have the pressure now, because everybody's saying, they're the ones. They're the ones to watch. They're the ultimate, you know, they could be the ultimate winners here. That's never a good place to be, is it?
But I don't think we're there. Honestly, it's like, wow, yeah, we could. Oh, Germany now. And we kind of get to a little bit to a reality check, maybe. Because there are no expectations, and we spoke about that 4 days ago, it's just whatever happens, it will be great and it will be celebrated. What's clear, though, is all of a sudden you look at what Spain and Luis Enrique have been doing. They've been playing the same way since he arrived in 2018. He's been giving chances to youngsters who do everything that he wants them to do. There's a clear leadership. And those are 3 important things to actually go far in the tournament.
Mm-hmm. I see Wales and Iran making their way out onto the pitch. I'm sure you've had an eye on that over the last little while. How's that going?
It's interesting. There hasn't been many chances. There was a disallowed goal for Iran, and you felt that at that point Iran could actually take the game. But then Wales settled a little bit, and now it's like one of those games that you can call intriguing. But it could go to 0-0. And if that's the case, I think we're breaking a record of 0-0s in group stages in the history of the World Cup.
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
It hasn't been not hugely entertaining so far.
So what happened with the anthem? In the first game, Iran didn't sing along, and they were booed by the crowd, and people were wondering what the booing was for. Was it against the regime or was it against the players? What happened today?
Well, it was similar as well, and we haven't come out to the end of where the woo came from, but we think it was a mixture of people just backing the players, but also there is a lot of representatives of the embassy of Iran in Qatar that were actually booing the players. So the kind of protests that are taking place, the division that is taking place in Iran, we've seen it in Qatar, but it has to be, in my eyes, the bravest gesture that football players have taken in this tournament. And it goes back to an idea that we touched on already, which is never again we can go to a World Cup and talk only about football. Never again. I think it's going to be 2 World Cups. Every newspaper will have to send 2 football writers and 2 social writers, because we now have to take in consideration a lot of other things that beyond the football. And I think he's right that that's the case.
Yeah, football has crossed into a place, and you're right, it can never leave there now, and particularly after the stance taken by the Iranian players, and who knows what the ultimate cost will be for them. I want to talk to you about last night's match, though, because it was great fun, Portugal and Ghana, in the latter stages when they started scoring goals and they were just flying in at both ends. It was good fun, wasn't it?
It was good fun. It was also the kind of the game that FIFA love, because they had a superstar there who didn't really impress in Cristiano Ronaldo. But in any case, every time he touched the ball, the noise in the stadium went so high. And then at the end, yes, it could have gone either way. When Portugal went through 3-1 up, you think this is done. And then Ghana scored the second one. And then, of course, there was this leap of the tournament, Iñaki Williams.
Yeah, talk us through that.
So it's 3-2, and he's right at the end, and Iñaki Williams waits behind the goalkeeper who's got the ball. He doesn't realise that Iñaki's behind him. That's the striker of Ghana. And Diego Costa, the goalkeeper of Portugal, puts the ball in front of him. At that point, Iñaki Williams rushes, takes the ball off him, and slips and falls. He could have been 3-3. But do you know the story? Have I told you the story of Iñaki Williams?
No, go ahead.
And that's why he makes it a little bit sadder, really. So his family are from Ghana, and his mom was pregnant of him when they decided to leave Ghana, paid all the savings to a group of people that happened to be mafia with the idea of traveling to Spain from Ghana. They were abandoned halfway through it. They had to walk thousands of kilometers, out of which now his dad, Iñaki Williams' dad, has got lost sensibility on his feet, and eventually get to the to an enclave in Morocco that's Spanish, Melilla. They get told that they have to lie, say they're from Liberia because there's a civil war there. So they get the documents as Liberian emigrants, war emigrants, and eventually make it to Spain. Iñaki gets born in Spain. Nico Williams, his brother, gets born in Spain as well. They both play for Athletic Club. Nico Williams made his debut with Spain 3 days or 2 days ago, whenever it was. And Iñaki Williams is the striker of Ghana because his grandfather said, you have to play for Ghana. So out of all that, you think he deserves the best. His family went through a lot. But football has got this, sometimes this cruel in it.
That's an extraordinary story. An extraordinary story. Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, I know he's the one that FIFA love because he gets all the cheers, he gets all the attention, but I have to talk about him, right? How did you think he was after leaving Man United, striding onto that pitch, getting all of the glory at 37, possibly his last World Cup? He doesn't believe so, we know that. How did you think he was?
A little bit like that, because he's 37. He affects the way that Portugal play. Absolutely. I think Rafael Leao could be a better solution up front, but he's got to play. And I doubted. I thought, no, maybe Fernando Santos, the manager of Portugal, will start thinking, do you know what? He doesn't beat defenders. He's not fast enough to stretch the defenses. He doesn't make the moves to benefit others. It's all about him. Maybe I'll play somebody else. Until I saw the 10 minutes before the game, focuses on him. He's the captain, shaking the hand of all the kids around him, comes out and everybody's exploding with happiness. I'm thinking, no, he's undroppable. But it does affect the way that Portugal plays, for the good and bad, because he dived for the penalty. I don't think it was a penalty. But then, of course, he scores the penalty, puts Portugal ahead and changes the direction of the game. He's got that in him, but much, much less than his biggest fans would say. I think he will hamper the progression of Portugal.
Do you think?
I just got the impression that what happens is the three players around him, players of quality, including the midfielders, they're looking for him all the time. So, but you cannot play the ball in behind the defence because he's not fast enough. What he wants is for you to look at his run into the box and put a cross in. Well, crosses in are easier to defend than other ways of attacking.
Did you see and did you think that he was cross with Costa for allowing Iñaki Williams to come in behind him in the last minutes, as we've just been discussing? Did you see Ronaldo go up to him afterwards and tell him off, the goalkeeper?
I did. Yes. One of the things that everybody that plays or coaches Ronaldo says, they just make us better, or has been so far in most of his career. So coaches, for instance, get into the training ground thinking, oh, I wonder this training drill, if Ronaldo will like it, because he pushes everybody on. And he does that with the national side as well. He's a little bit, did you see him as well when he came off?
Yeah.
How he was
managing
like,
the team.
Using the space of the manager. Yeah. So, you know, he wants to be on the stage all the time. Oh, Iran just hit the post right now.
Oh, okay. Listen, live commentary. Delighted to get it. I'm reminded as well, somebody's telling me here and reminding me about Shea Given, the
hit
former.
Hit the post again. Sorry. Sorry.
That's all right.
Start again.
I'll just tell my story and you carry on with the commentary. Shea Given, you know that what happened to Costa last night with Iñaki going behind him, that Shea Given, you probably know this story, had this happen to him when Dion Dublin snuck up behind him and scored from that. Mm. And he said yesterday when this happened with the Portugal-Ghana game, he was told he was the only Irish man who didn't know where Dublin was. Dion Dublin, you see?
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
That is good.
I don't know if we have time, but... There was this happened in Spain. Goalkeeper coach now with Pochettino at Spurs. He was there. He in the cup final. He had the ball in his hand, and he played for Atletico Madrid. The final was against Espanyol. Espanyol striker puts his head because he doesn't see him. He's behind him. Puts his head and takes the ball away, scores in a cup final.
Yeah, you
and
see,
Espanyol win. But the rules change after that.
The rules change after that. But you're still allowed to do what Iñaki did last night. It's just a pretty sneaky thing to do, you know. So then Brazil, we must talk about Brazil too and that fantastic goal that we saw, which is reminiscent of the Brazil of old and the Brazil that we've come to expect.
Well, for an hour they weren't, because this is a team that has got so much quality up front that they've decided not to play football, just to score goals. And what that means is that just get the ball to the guys up front and see what happens. And always things happen. If it's not Richarlison, it will be Neymar, or it will be Rafinha, or Anthony if he comes on, Vinicius. Such talent. So they don't need to play like the Brazil of old, as in through the midfield and 1-2s. And no, just get the ball forward to them. And eventually that's how they managed to get two goals. One day will be Anthony, Rafinha, whoever. Yesterday was Richarlison.
Mm-hmm. They've got to hope that keeps working for them. What about Neymar? What are you hearing about the injury?
Oh, I've seen it. He's got a golf ball in his ankle right now. And I know that Tite, the manager of Brazil, was saying, he'll play. He said it twice. So if he said it twice, probably it's true. He'll play, but he will struggle. The problem is for everybody else, there's not a huge situation. Neymar plays at a different pace than everybody else. They have players to actually still win games. They have such a strong squad. It's not like, remember in 2014 when he got injured against Colombia, missed against Germany, and then the semifinals, and then Brazil were killed that day. Brazil are a stronger squad and don't particularly necessarily depend so much on Neymar these days.
Mm-hmm. England have yet to beat the United States in a World Cup meeting, and they're meeting later on. What do you think?
Well, I need to be quiet because I got Grant Wall, the number one USA writer here next to me. So, but, England are a favourite. they have everything they require to actually go far in the tournament. It was brilliant to see. I know people are saying Spain played really well. They did. I was more impressed, or as impressed, with England. High tempo when they required 1-2 touches, goals from everywhere. Very much the kind of thing that makes you, shall I say it quietly, win the World Cup.
Ah, you sometimes. See, now I know what the strategy is. You talk up England, because Spain are doing well. Spain will be the favourites against Germany now at the weekend. No doubt about that. That's a given, right?
Yeah, another writer that is with me, but he's not here, living with us, Raphael Honigstein, German. He's already preparing his backs. He says that he's got two more games in the tournament. I kind of agree with him. I don't think they can beat Spain. This Spain is really, really strong. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. We probably won't score 7 against Germany. No, I don't think we will. But in any case, he has shown such a quality throughout Spain that difficult to beat.
Do you know who else seems to be packing bags? Australian fans. I don't know if you've seen this. I was reading this morning. Their fan zone apartment has been flooded with sewage twice. So
oh my God!
Yeah, but they've decided they're off. I've no idea. I mean, clearly you'd know better than I would.
Clearly,
but like that is not a good scene. Are you hearing anything from fans about the accommodation?
Yeah, I'm hearing all kinds. There are a lot of Spaniards that were put in a similar, they are like containers. And when they arrived, just for the day of the match, the first match of Spain against Costa Rica, it wasn't clean, or it wasn't organized, or they didn't have enough space for them. And these are places that have got no air conditioning, that they closed, that they very hot. They didn't mind. They just wanted to, and it's 200 euros a night. So that they just wanted their place to sleep. They eventually, some got them. And yes, in some places it hasn't been the ideal conditions to or what they pay for, really. But most of the fans, I see them walking around. They seem happy. It's lovely to see, you know, Brazilians having a go at Argentinians, but in a funny way. Saudis, wherever they go, they get clapped, having beaten Argentina, and all that banter still there.
Yeah, Argentina need to start performing for the 37,000 reported fans who have travelled there. Guillaume, lovely to talk to you, and good luck over the weekend with the Spanish game, and we will chat again soon, no doubt.
Thank you, Claire. We don't need
to
look.
Care.
We're going to win.
Thanks, Guillaume. Now, I've got another Shay Given story into us here. He played a friendly for Newcastle in the Carlisle grounds in Bray shortly after the Dion Dublin goal in the second half. This listener says that their dad, who was amongst the Bray fans when Given was in the North End goal, so you've got to be imagine this geographically, let out a roar, "Shay, Dublin's behind you." Never live it down, will he? Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.